Welcome. You're listening to Casually Baked, the podcast. Home base for the can of curious. Thanks for tuning in.
It's a hard time. We had a hard time. Together. Together. Yes, it's a hard time. We had a hard time.
Ciao, ragazzi. I'm Joe, your host and cannabis lifestyle guide. I'm home from my tour of Italia. My friend Vicky and I could be contenders for the Amazing Race if I was into that sort of thing. We clocked some serious miles on planes, trains, automobiles, boats, and on foot. We started on the Amalfi Coast in Capri before heading to my Italian hometown of Bologna, where I spent 5 days catching up with as many of my favorite people, places, and things as humanly possible. If you follow at Casually Baked on social, then you probably saw some pics and social stories along the way. If you don't, I'll be sure to share some highlights in the podcast show notes at casuallybaked.com. When I travel, as you can imagine, I appreciate exploring the cannabis culture in the cities I visit. Since Italy is my home away from home, I was extra interested in the changes happening in the cannabis culture there. I sat down with one of my favorite Bowtown locals, an Irishman by the name of Michael Phillips. Michael has been living in Bologna since 2005. He's the creator and publisher of Bologna Press, a newspaper providing coverage in English to the 60,000 foreign residents in the city. Bologna Press offers news coverage on political and economic events, business issues, sports, reviews, interviews, and pretty much anything that affects the local Bowtown community. Michael pays the bills as a journalist and English teacher, but his passion is politics. He's been hard at work with Volt Europa, a new political party seeking to change the face of European politics in the next EU elections in May 2019. Because my Italian is shit, and yours is probably worse than that, I thought he'd be the perfect person to discuss the cannabis culture in Italy. There was no agenda. We just hit record and had ourselves an international chat. I can't remember everything we talked about, so I'm excited to listen in with you. I'm riding shotgun.
I got the bottle of wine, the high dollar kind.
I'm sitting here with my friend Michael Phillips. He's also the host with the most this week, as me and my friend Vicky are traveling around Italy and we are staying at his place here in Bologna. But, you know, when Vicky and I got off the train in Rome, immediately across the street from the train station, there was a big cannabis leaf on the side of this building or on the side of this bar, and we walked in and they had there was just like this huge display for a cannabis infused drink. And so I asked the guy if I could see it, and I turn it around and am reading the key ingredients, and it was sugar and caffeine are the two biggest things in it. And there's trace amounts of hemp based CBD in this product. So, you know, obviously there's not anything that was of value or that was a source of nutrition in it, so I didn't buy it. But getting to Bologna, I was told there were a couple of little shops. And so Vicky and I went into one yesterday, and it really feels like the cannabis culture here in Italy is really more about the, what would be the word I would use for it? It's less about actual medicinal benefits, and it's less about cannabis in general and more about just the fashion of cannabis. I mean, this was a store with pot leaves for wallpaper and, you know, candy and cookies and things like that with hemp, but nothing, there was no cannabis education. It was
more for the youth culture.
Yeah.
In that sense, yeah.
And so since you're so dialed in and connected in this community and you're involved in politics here in Italy, I thought maybe you could
kind of give me the whatever insight you have as far as what's really happening with this culture. Because as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't seem like anybody knows shit about cannabis here.
Well, from what I've seen over the last recent years, are a lot of these little shop fronts, tiny little shop fronts, opening up for cannabis. And in fact, I've never even been inside one of them, because you can literally see what's inside just from the door, because they're that small. But one thing that always that I have been curious as to why there are so many around, and yet the laws are still quite strict here, and smoking cannabis isn't very public. It is and it isn't, you know. We all know people who do smoke it, maybe in the park or possibly out the back of a pub or something like that. But it's not as sociably acceptable. So it's always been this paradox of you have a lot of these shops been promoted or promoting cannabis. They obviously can't sell it. Or at least they can't sell the medicinal ones. It's only very specialized companies can do that. So I really don't understand much of it myself, and I can only put it down to probably being more of a marketing, an early adopter style, as you had mentioned before when we're talking privately. It must be just marketing, really, you know?
Well, and I think that there are the opportunistic entrepreneurs who are jumping in now. And when I was going through the store yesterday, you can buy cannabis flower, but it is very high CBD, low THC, and, you know, like less than 0.6%, I think, was what the guy had told me. But from what I read, you know, they've gone back and forth just like they have in the States, where, you know, people's feelings on it fluctuate. And so currently, from my homework, it has been decriminalized. So someone who, if you get caught consuming cannabis in a public place, you would get a ticket, like a traffic fine, something equivalent to a traffic fine. But I also read that you can grow one plant at home for your own personal use. And I really just think that nobody here even knows what they can and can't do. And because of the culture and because of the religious nature of this country in general, I think it really is stigmatized. And I think in order for any sort of like real change to happen, people are going to have to get educated on the benefits of it so that they can feel moved to do something about it in the political system.
Well, there's two points you hit upon there. The first one was the law. Here in Italy, the law changes can be very dramatic with regard to some issues. And sometimes they can go forward, and then sometimes they can be rolled back onto a new government, which... as you know here, as you know yourself, the government here has seen the largest number of elected governments since World War II. I think it's something like 60, 62, maybe we're on our 63rd government. So even if people do know what to do, you know, that law can change next year.
Yeah, which we're seeing a lot of in the States right now with this Trump presidency.
Exactly,
and
he's rolling back a lot of the Obama. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So then you have the other aspect of it about the education side of it, and do people really know? I've certainly never had a discussion. I don't personally smoke myself, but I have friends that do, but I've never heard them talking about it in any educational format whatsoever. Just more on the issues of about getting high from it and you know, being relaxed. So I've never heard it being pushed from that point of view, which I suppose to become more socially acceptable here, maybe that's one of the angles that they need to do, rather than just push it for the medicinal effects, you know, for cancer patients or patients with tumors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly you need a bigger drive for the educational effects of it, you know?
Well, and, you know, since I've been here and catching up with all of my friends, I have had specific questions asked, like, okay, explain to me, you know, besides this cancer thing, explain to me why cannabis is good for us, how it's good for us. And I really do think that one of the biggest pieces to that puzzle is people understanding that you can get all of these benefits without getting high, because that's the thing that a lot of people hear. They're pretty buttoned up and straight laced. And once I can tell people, hey, you know, it can help with epilepsy and degenerative mental and brain function and cancer and all these different things, and you don't have to get high, then it seems more interesting and it seems like more of a viable option for people. But, you know, when I lived here before, it was, you know, my friends would smoke spliffs. And so they would, you know, everybody had a little hashish with them and they would, you know, sprinkle it in their cigarettes. And so that's how I consumed cannabis when I lived here. And of course, I was always the sideshow at the party when they'd say, like, that's the girl that smokes cannabis by itself. They just thought that was the craziest thing. And so I was curious to come back and see how all that had kind of changed. And I was hopeful when I went into that cannabis store that there would be some, either the person behind the register being educated about it and have being able to have a real conversation. But it really just felt like, you know, when you go into the souvenir shop at Six Flags, you know, where it's like, oh, I'm coming in here to get a cannabis t-shirt or hoodie or a sucker that has CBD in it. And, you know, it's just more about the leaf and the symbol of cannabis.
I mean, you have cannabis being a drug, obviously, you still have that stigma of drugs and antisocial behavior. It's particularly bad here in Bologna because the police are always raiding the parks where, unfortunately, a lot of the newly arrived immigrants are selling the drugs because they have no money. They're coming from mostly from Africa. They're easy pickings for the mafia to go and sell the drugs. So we see in the newspapers and on the TV all the time are the drugs, even if it's just cannabis, and everyone, I mean, it's pretty much well accepted anyway that people who smoke cannabis don't go out and rob stores or shops. You know, they don't. I mean, it's only people maybe on hard drugs or people who are dependent on some type of substance. I think maybe to educate people, possibly we need to break the link first with the cannabis being connected to hard drugs or being connected right to the criminal element. Mm-hmm. Not the criminal element, the antisocial element. Mm-hmm. First, no. You know, and maybe breaking that link first, then it would be easier to educate people rather than trying to educate people first, because there's still that bad negativity in the press, and that always trumps everything. Once you see that, then people, ordinary people who don't know anything maybe about drugs, or they don't know that maybe one thing is good for them, they still see the bad connection to.
But to me, I mean, those things go hand in hand, because when you talk about cannabis and drugs, I mean, it's like the hair on the back of my neck stands up, because I don't even like cannabis to be called a drug. You know, I'm like, I told
exactly.
you at
so
lunch
what
today,
call,
it's
so what
like,
would call, so what would we call it if we were starting a new campaign? What would we call
well,
it?
Nature's oldest pain reliever. that sounds like a good marketing slogan for cannabis. But no, I mean, it's like cannabis is a natural plant substance, and it actually is.
So could we put into the bio food type of area?
Alternative medicine, you know, where that's where people place the supplements that they take and that sort of thing.
Yes, we see alternative medicine has been around for centuries, and people have been trying to push it through alternative medicine sources, but it's not working.
You're saying they've been trying to push cannabis through the.
Yeah. It has been connected to that, let's say, industry. But for some reason, it's not getting through. It's still mostly illegal in most countries. Okay, you might have, even here, you have it for personal use. But then why is it still very illegal and still associated with criminal activity, antisocial behavior, hard drugs? So that possibly is not enough to associate
well,
with.
Well, but you, I mean, when you think about how change happens in a community, there has to be some sort of conversation that has to be had. There, people have to start talking about what's going on and how they, you know, I tell people all the time, we have to be the first person to come out of the closet and talk about how we're using this plant medicine for wellness.
Do you have any social groups or any type of forum?
I mean,
for example, in the States, are you, because here, for example, let's say I was in agreement with you in that context, I've never heard of groups here or forums or like-minded people being able to, you know, generally 99% of people here, if they're going to smoke cannabis or weed or what, it's just to get high.
Right. And that's exactly my point. The fact that you are so connected and you are politically minded and politically driven and you are involved in what's happening in your community, the fact that you have no clue if there's an organization, that's exactly my point. So, you know, in California, you've got everything from, you know, the California Growers Association or the National Cannabis Industry Association. So people that are in the business, they get together and they form these larger groups so that you can have a voice and go to your local and state governments and like really be able to affect change. In a country like Italy, where it is slower to adopt some of these things, I mean, you know, Canada is now nationally legal. Canada is now doing business with Israel and the Netherlands and Germany and the United States. Like, these major countries are coming on board. And frankly, money is what I would think would drive the conversation and drive the change, because there's so much money to be made in this industry.
Not in Europe. I'm not saying that there's not a lot of money. I'm saying that Europeans aren't driven by money. We're not. Capitalism is here, of course, but it's not the same as America. Europeans don't work that way. You can't push things. And actually, the government could collect a lot of taxes here, and therefore people would be, oh, okay, that sounds like a good idea. They'll vote for the issues and that, but doesn't sell.
Okay, so this is good. So then what are, if people aren't driven by the idea of making money, then what drives them?
Well, you have to, of
lifestyle.
Course, Europe, of course, is split up between north and south. You have all the Mediterranean countries: Portugal, Spain, part of France, Italy, over to Croatia, Greece, and all of those countries don't work or don't think the same way in culture, in terms of culture, as all the northern countries would. Let's even say the furthest ones, Norway, Sweden, Finland, and Denmark even. So it would have to be different approaches. Even if there was a group of people got together tomorrow and said, okay, how are we going to promote? Well, another group would have to get together in the north and maybe even different alternative methods in the middle of Europe.
Absolutely. That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Back to my question, then what is that driving force for the Italian culture? Like, what drives them to lead their best life, or what drives them to want change?
Well, change in any form here, particularly after I've been here 13 years, is very, very difficult. No matter what we're talking about, social issues or economic issues or health issues, to enact change here is incredibly complex, bureaucratic, difficult. So there is no just one answer to that.
Yeah.
But more directly, what drives people, to come back to your question, having a good life here, being comfortable, going on holidays, that is generally the Italian life. They spend more time and energy wanting to live well. Rather, what's the old saying? Rather than live to work, work to live. Yes. Mm-hmm. So here it's to work to live.
Yeah, I believe that wholeheartedly. And from my own experience, I totally get the red tape piece. I mean, I'd moved back to the States and paid for the internet service in my flat for an extra 9 months trying to get that fucking thing canceled. So I totally get how it's challenging to make change here, but the benefits of cannabis and the things that cannabis does to help people with dis-ease or for uncomfortable situations or, you know, ailments. You know, it's like my big fat Greek wedding where the dad like puts or mom puts Windex on everything. You have a mosquito bite and your leg's itching. She's just like, put some Windex on it. So, you know, it's that kind of thing. Like cannabis can be this one medicine that can be in a,
right,
a then, mom's arsenal of things to fix.
But now what you're talking though, you're talking about a political issue, not necessarily of politics, but it's a political issue. And who, at least in this society, is powerful enough not to get hit by too much criticism that can do that. And there's nobody really here that would take up those issues. You know, it's not like an environmental issue where people will be happy to now environmentalism is cool now, whereas years ago it wasn't. You only had the green parties all around the world. And even still, green politics is still a bit boring, you know?
Right. But in Piazza Santo Stefano, there's that big art display and we're talking about pollution and it does have to start somewhere. You produce a bi-monthly newspaper.
Okay.
And so, you know, me telling you, hey, I want to create some sort of cannabis education and us publish this in your paper. That those are the sorts of things that start to happen. Where
Bologna Press, you mean? Yeah.
Yes, there you go. Let's plug it. Let's plug it. Yes. Bologna Press. And it is the only English publication here, right?
Yeah. I mean, that is a very good start. Yeah. That maybe other people, other foreigners who read that, even some of the Bolognese who are going to read this article, and it might even get them thinking. So it is. It's certainly a good start. The other thing, because I'm part of a new political movement, a new political party called Volt Europa, and I was looking up our policies earlier, and strangely enough, 80% of our members are young, under the age of 30, or around the age of 30, and yet we have no direct policy, at least from what I was trying to research. And
so y'all have no stance on cannabis?
No, I didn't say that. Official stance.
Okay.
Which, again, I thought a bit strange because hard cannabis is definitely a young industry in this sense. Anyone who's going to be politically activated by it are going to be young,
mm-hmm.
at least mostly young anyway. And we have nothing. So part... that could be something for us to take up in future. And the fact that we're all over Europe, we're in officially every country, but we have 9 official political parties around Europe. We're in a prime position that if we get in any MEPs next year, the elections, we can propose things like that to be adopted all across Europe rather than have every country doing their own separate thing. So we're in an ideal position to promote.
And I will be happy to arm you with so much cannabis education that you will just spread the gospel for us. But
do we get free samples as well?
Yeah. Hey, yes, you'll sleep like a baby.
Can't wait.
But yeah, I mean, that's exactly the sort of thing that needs to happen. And I know I am an early adopter of this whole evangelical. I don't even know how to say what I'm trying to do. I mean, it's like I go around preaching the gospel of cannabis wherever I go.
Yeah, because you see, you've just hit on something very important. You can't give a name or describe in very few words what are you doing. So how then are you going to convert others?
Well, so no, I know exactly what my message is, but
yes, I know you know what the message is, but what club do you belong to, for example, or what association or what group, you know?
Well, I'm involved in all that kind of stuff in California, but that's irrelevant when I'm sitting with you in Italy talking about it.
No, I know. But what I'm trying to say is some type of umbrella association, I'm involved with this political movement. It is also a political party, but it's also a political movement in all of Europe, and we want to unite Europe. So, you know, there's something very clear image that I give to people of why I want to describe Volt, because Volt were very small on in terms of political parties, you know. But at least there's something there I can, people will immediately understand. Ah, okay, you're for that. So maybe that's something that you need to grow or develop.
I have a megaphone. That's why I have this podcast. I reach out and I make connections with other people that have larger megaphones, potentially access to political parties. And I persuade them to listen to the message and to take in the content that I'm providing and then make a decision on how they feel about it. And there's nobody that is going to look at the facts and understand the benefits of cannabis for wellness and how it is affecting change. Once someone hears me out and they hear all of everything that that cannabis has to offer, they're idiots if they don't understand and take that on and want to do something.
There you go. Because you have there's a clear objective to selling that message over there, you know. The consequences and advantages are very, very clear. You know, you can get this from selling, from creating this industry. Whereas here, if we were to create a new group that are going to sell again this message, what are people getting out of it apart from saying that there are health benefits? Because that doesn't necessarily always work. It's not very clear. To say, for example, drink more water because it's healthy. People aren't drinking more water. They're drinking bottled water, which isn't healthy. So you see, there's
so much bottled water in this country. Like, I don't even know what your landfills look like.
Yeah, of course, that's even talking about even more side consequences that from having so much plastic. But you know, again, just selling the water, people think okay, they don't necessarily drink a lot more water because it's healthy. So we need some other. Yes, with use you have taxes, can pay maybe more schools or can be more research. Here, selling that type of message to Europeans doesn't get them, you know.
It's interesting because you keep saying like selling a message to people, and that does sound off-putting. I'm not trying to sell anybody anything. I'm trying to open minds.
Well, yes, I'm using the word in a very generic.
Well, I know, but that's exactly the idea that, you know, a European who is fearful, who lives in a country that is just in general fearful of change, and who is at any point they want to do anything, there is a lot of red tape involved, and it takes a lot of effort to make change. And it's like, you know what, fuck it, I'd rather go to the seaside for the weekend. I don't want to deal with all of this. So, you know, I recognize that. But, you know, right now, the Italian government is growing cannabis in Florence. And they have been growing high CBD strains. And there are medicinal cannabis laws in existence in this country right now. They've decriminalized cannabis. And nobody knows it. Nobody fucking knows it. And so that's my whole point, is like, just open your mouth and talk about it.
Well, one of the things just come to mind again, promoted the message. Am I allowed to say that?
Yes, yes, yes.
All right. So one of the things, okay, what are the Italians work on? Italians work on fashion, right? And also on sports. There's two main themes that they live for, mm-hmm. sports and fashion. Possible idea here, how could you link fashion with the cannabis or sports with the cannabis? And considering, of course, remember, sports, cannabis.
Sports and cannabis actually is the best connection.
Right.
Because so, professional athletes are using CBD for recovery. Cannabis is going to be the answer to the opioid crisis. And so a lot of athletes who suffer injuries and they become addicted to opioids, cannabis and full-on cannabis, not even just CBD-rich cannabis, but traditionally like high THC and CBD cannabis has huge medicinal benefits and recovery for athletes. And then if we're talking fashion, they make clothes out of hemp. Could be, you know, something in the fashion industry where there becomes this movement of creating hemp-based fashion.
But that is just one part. I mean,
We're just spitballing. We're brainstorming.
Yeah. Okay. getting people from the fashion industry to talk about it, because yeah, the hemp fashion is a great idea, very alternative way for making clothes and etc. But you still need a face to promote it.
Sure.
You know, and again, fashion or sports, who would dare come out and promote it, because then they wouldn't want to be connected with drug running. You know, it seems stupid, but that's the message that would come across from possibly from the media. If they took some big name and say, this person is promoting drugs with our young people, you know, it would just be crazy.
But that this is all you talking from your glass half empty perspective, which we both know that's your perspective.
I'm not. I'm very optimistic.
Oh, my dear.
Just that but being here is different. You have to feel some real.
I totally get it. But I believe wholeheartedly. So, for example, you know, my educational kit, us translating that to Italian, where there's just an option for people to read about the benefits of cannabis or to learn more about
actually,
it. Like
when you were in the shop, did you see anything? Was there any written material or any?
No, there were suckers and gummies and cookies and candy and cannabis infused wine and cannabis infused beer. It looked like a souvenir shop. The kid behind the counter, I mean, he let me take video and pictures, which I'll include those in the show notes at casuallybaked.com. So that you can check it out and see for yourself. It just felt very novel. Cannabis is this little novelty, kind of like, you know, Dippin' Dots, the ice cream of the future.
That's probably because they can only get the license to do that, I'm sure.
Well, they did have the cannabis flower, you know, and it comes in a little jar. It was €25 for 1.5 grams, which is roughly like $30 for 1.5 grams, which is twice is what you would pay back in California.
How many plants would you get out of that?
Oh, 1.5 gram is just a couple of flowers. It's like in a tin that looked like...
Okay, but what would you get out of that then?
Well, 1 gram, you would probably be able to smoke 3 bowls out of it. I mean, it's not...
There's enough, okay, so I thought it was like some type of a seed. I know you said flower, but I mean...
Wow, the flower is the bud. Yeah.
Obvious, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. No, it's okay. So cannabis flower is the actual bud that you grind up and you put it in your pipe or your bong or vaporizer or whatever. You know, and that flower that they had 4 or 5 different strains, and it was really expensive, and it's, you know, high CBD, very low THC, which is the only thing that they can sell right now. And it's in a tin and you can't even look at it. Like snuff.
But then you see, possibly, remember, you know, in the supermarkets, and you had all the ingredients, the labeling. So that, of course, that's still a massive controversial subject about labeling. Should they, how transparent do they need to be? That could be possibly a way forward also in educating the public and putting the labels on all those cannabis products.
Yeah. And they had the nutritional facts, like the panel on the back, and majority of those products, you know, sugar is one of the first ingredients, and sugar's cancer. It's terrible for us. So the fact that...
So you don't know if you're going up or down. You're smoking that stuff. She's getting sugar high and, oh God, coming back down again.
I know. I mean, it's terrible. And that's the whole point, is if with a little bit of education, I know that there are people in this country that I mean, there was a vegan brioche at that was totally black, that you're like, who would eat this shit?
Disgusting, isn't it? Well, sorry for any vegans either, but
I mean, so if you can get a vegan breakfast croissant, or, you know, from cafe over by my old place, it's all organic products inside of there. So I know that there are healthy-minded people here. And I think those are the people that would latch on and be the ones to affect change faster.
If, again, depending on what sector, or like from where it was coming for the health, you know, we're talking about health sports or health, normal health, you know, as in eat healthy, smoke healthy.
Because I tell people, on the way I use cannabis is my multivitamin. We have product where it's cannabinoid specific sublinguals, and I take those, the ones that I need in the morning, and I don't get high from it. I take them with my vitamins, which shit, I forgot to take a second day in a row. I need to take those.
Can I help me with swimming?
Yes. The recovery piece would be huge for you.
Might take too much of it.
I don't know. No. And that's the other thing. Zero people in the whole wide world have ever died from using cannabis. It is.
No, I don't mean it from that. I mean, when I'm in the pool.
Yeah. No, you're not going to, you won't drown. You won't, you know, cramp up from too much CBD, but it will, it helps with muscle recovery.
So afterwards then, yeah.
Mm-hmm. MMA fighters and football players, basketball players, like they use it for...
just have a nice bath.
Yeah. Well, you can take it during your ice bath.
Maybe freeze to death, yeah. Instead of drown.
So it's, it has a place here. And so I am especially motivated now to help try to educate you and some others so that you can...
Well, you're coming at the right time because as you've seen, all those shops are starting to pop up everywhere. What is the next?
The hell is that?
It's like a heart or something.
It felt like it was like under me.
Yes, so a lot of these shops are popping up everywhere. So what is the next stage from the shops? I don't know what. Will there be more companies going into the medicinal range, or will it evolve? You know, how's it going to evolve? You know, will it become more public, sociable? Will it be more, I don't know what the next stage from that would be, you know?
One thing that I would like to do is to create educational materials around CBD. So that's the first step. Like, we won't even, you know, jump directly into cannabis and THC and all that
stuff.
Have
you ever been to Amsterdam, though?
Yeah, several times. Mm-hmm.
Because what happened there, that was obviously the most liberal place in Europe regarding cannabis and even drugs in general. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, they started rolling back. They started closing down coffee shops.
And a lot of that was from people that were coming in, tourists that were coming in and eating the space cakes and then leaving, going to a bar and having alcohol to drink. And then, you know, I think one young girl jumped off a building or something.
That wouldn't have been why the...
Well, that's what I remembered. By the time, I think it was my second trip, space cakes, they couldn't even sell them anymore.
I mean, there is a lot of, again, there's a lot of criminal activity in Amsterdam because you get people all over Europe going and
smuggling seeds
and things
like, you
know, get them out. But there's a classic example. Then why didn't they see that coming? Why did they not educate the public to it? Instead, they're going back. They're rolling back some of their laws and to make it more illegal rather than make it more acceptable.
And I can't speak to the laws in general there, but the reason that sort of thing happens is because most governments have a fear-based agenda and they try to control the population.
Is this Trump's deep state we're talking about now? you came over here. You're not working for Bannon, are you?
Fuck you. But it is. I mean, everything is so fear-based. And so instead of course correcting and saying, oh, we need to do a better job of educating the public, we need to maybe make it to where people can purchase less of something, they just yank the carpet out from under you and say, like, see, this is, all these terrible things have happened. And so you can't be trusted. So we're going to have to roll back the laws. I mean, that's what they're trying to do. If Kavanaugh gets elected to the Supreme Court, they're going to be like, ladies, you don't know what's best for your body. So, you know, abortions are no longer...
They're going to go back to caveman times, demons.
As far as I'm concerned, I don't give a shit what another country is doing as far as like... Because all these political systems are like that. But if the population, if the citizens, if the people...
Rise up and
educate yourself
and
rise the fuck
up. Burn the government out of
the
buildings. Yeah. Yes. Maybe the good old days you used to do that.
Storm the castle. Yeah. I just think if you think about it in a very simple way, it all starts with education.
When was it? About a week ago, I was reading here, trying to give the cops more permission to go into the schools with the dogs, do spot checks into the high schools, you know?
Wow, that's good.
Why?
Why? Kids don't need to be taking drugs, selling drugs. Like, go to school, learn right. some shit. So yeah, sure.
Okay. But the reason why I was a bit curious about why they were doing this, shouldn't they be educating them?
Yes, they should be doing
rather
that too.
Rather than going after them for the drugs and the criminal activity and the selling, you know, shouldn't they, it would have been far better to put that the money and the resources into teaching them about it.
Absolutely, they should do that.
Because what is it? They're fighting the...
Well, they're just putting a Band-Aid on something.
Yeah, yeah.
So we just had lunch and school lets out. And
wonderful
six,
lunch too.
It was a lot.
I'm still sitting in my stomach. Wow.
It was delicious. But those six obnoxious, loudmouth teenagers get out of school and they came and sat down over there and they are being loud, rambunctious kids. So if you don't take time to educate them, you know, I did a show not very long ago with Students for Sensible Drug Policy. And the whole idea that the way to affect change, it's not just say no, it is to
beat them with big sticks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's to introduce factual information on how and why things work and how and why they aren't good for you at this point and stage in your life. Having that sort of class, having that education in schools for tweens and teens.
What about, for example, teachers in the States? Are teachers allowed to say anything? Or
there are.
Is there anything, any type of syllabus or?
No, not for drug awareness. I mean, my sister, one of my sisters is lead guidance counselor for the largest school in the state of Texas. And their stance is just say no. There's not a lot of opportunities for them to educate. So it has to come from the parents, the PTA, the people that are coming together and saying, hey, this is important. We want our kids to have access to this information. And it becomes more of a community-driven thing. You know, like the Students for Sensible
because
Drug Policy.
It's no to all drugs rather than no to cannabis. And
right.
That goes back to the original. Why is cannabis associated with...
Yeah, don't have sex, don't do any drugs. It's just don't do it. What the Students for Sensible Drug Policy have done is they created all of this information around caffeine, alcohol, opioids, cannabis, you know, all these different drugs and substances. And they've created, you know, PowerPoint decks that a parent can download or that students can download. And so they're just like...
packets.
Yeah. And so it's like, this is what it is. This is the history of this substance. This is how it's normally used. This is how it makes you feel. These are why people like it. These are the negative things that could happen. If someone is showing these signs, they've probably overdosed. This is what you should do. Their whole idea is, we don't hide any of the information. We're going to provide all of it. And then let someone, you know, make an educated decision as far as how they want to use it or how that they can talk to their peers about it. And so, you know, those sorts of things are important. Going back to the drug dogs in the schools, there's always the kids that are like, I'm scared straight. I don't ever want to do it. There's the kid that's always going to say, okay, I'll try it, and they'll dabble in it. And then there's the kid that's like balls to the wall. I'm going to rage against the machine and you can't stop me. You don't know better than me. And so having the drug dogs going through there, like, I think that is a balance if you do those two things together.
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, I think the way they're doing it here is a bit too forceful because let's say a dog finds, because they actually go into the classes. If a dog finds drugs on somebody, now, you don't know if they were really selling it or if they were using it for recreational or if somebody maybe even planted it, you know. Imagine getting picked out of the class after the dog has been all around you and the cops, then they take them out of the class. That's pretty...
It's traumatizing.
Yeah. And especially then when you're going back into your peers, you know. And if you're not the type of very confident type of person for a young kid, you're not going to be picked on, you're going to be criticized, and there's a criminal. You see, they're a drug dealer.
Mm-hmm.
you're going to be labeled a drug dealer immediately. And then, of course, your teachers are going to know, all the school's going to know. It's just going to be...
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a whole other podcast all its own. As far as I'm concerned, and I will beat this dead horse, we have to educate ourselves.
Donkey, I'd say it's more of a donkey because they're a bit more, you know, stubborn, so...
Well, then, horses I'm going to beat this dead ass. But, you know, educating yourself. And then it's as simple as just educating your peer group, the people that we had Monday Club with, you know.
Oh, that would be a bad place to start.
You know what
We've
I mean.
Already got issues. You don't need to start
but you know
more
what
issues
I mean.
On them.
Like, those are your, those, that's your crowd. Those are your people. And so it's as simple as saying, hey, do you even know what our drug laws are, the cannabis drug laws in Italy? And just starting that dialogue and then being like, did you know that professional athletes are using cannabis for recovery and that it's reversing the effects of Alzheimer's and dementia? I mean, we're at a point in our history where there are more fucking old people than ever before. And they're all losing their minds and we all have to take care of them. So why would we not want to share cannabis with our parents and grandparents?
Yeah, if it's going to help them, of course. Yeah.
So it's like just having those tiny little snippets of dialogue.
I wouldn't like to see my mom on the drugs. Oh, jeez.
She pour wine on your head?
No, not my head, worse than friends' head.
That won't make sense to anyone, but...
Decriminalizing, I think, is definitely a big start. Going further, feeling not just saying that you can use it for personal use, but more by saying that people who use it or people who are carrying it around aren't criminals, and you can't associate them with being drug dealers.
Yeah.
You know, because and they are. If you're caught, then people who don't know you then say, I must be dealing drugs, you know.
Well, and I know here that your reputation will stick and then precede you wherever you may go.
So my reputation?
In general, anyone's reputation.
Right. Okay, thank God for that.
Yeah, no. And so I do recognize and I can appreciate that. However, you know, at some point, someone is going to have to be brave enough to stand up and talk about it.
We will. Volt Europe will.
There you go.
If we get in next year into the Parliament, European Parliament,
well, so
I will
what,
be there.
So
I said, everybody, let's smoke up. Let's light up. Oh.
I don't.
I get you over
I
the
may
top.
Have
no,
to
no,
be
no,
there.
No, I'm, gonna...
I'm like, you may not be the best representation. I may have to be there with the creation of Volt. How do you start that conversation of like, hey, we need to get together and have a stance on cannabis policy?
So it's like anything. You obviously need an audience, or you need some like-minded people then to bring up an issue, and that's what we do. We want to discuss policies. If I want to discuss policies with my European colleagues, you know, we work online using the social networks, and we just write a question. What do you think about this? So let's say if I was going to push the cannabis issue, I would write on the our pages, does anyone know anything about the legalities or the health benefits or of cannabis, and how can we push it? And we'll just take off from there.
Well, I'm going to provide you with all of the information that you need
for the article as well.
And yes, and the other thing too, you know, I would ask you to translate my resource guide, but your friends would tell me that that would be a very bad idea because
going to Italian.
Yes.
Oh, bloody right. No, it has been Italian to translate it.
Right.
Because you only translate into your native language. You don't translate across languages.
Right. So we need to find someone who would be willing to translate the
Monica
cannabis resource guide. If she has time, she didn't even have time to have drinks with me tonight.
Yeah. I won't, don't worry.
Yes, good. So that, you know, for me, that's my takeaway, is that I need to provide as much information as possible to you and get this conversation started here, because
it'd be interesting to see what my readers will say when they pick up the article and see what feedback comes from then.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be, curious.
All right. When's my editorial deadline?
Oh, next week?
You're fucking kidding me, right? Is that when?
No, I'm joking. Okay. No, 2 weeks.
Okay. All right. I'll put something together. And even if it's something where we can do, you know, a series, so because you can't tackle
Hold on a second. You can give me extra work here?
No, I'm giving myself extra work. I'm the one that's doing the writing. You just have to plug it into the pages.
All right. Okay. I mean, I'm more interested certainly in the fashion sports end of it, because it for me personally, to convince people around me, it would be easier to educate them in that sense, rather than we all know it's medicinal benefits.
No, you don't. You don't all know the medicinal benefits.
I mean, okay, let me speak in a very generic terms, is that we know what's good for you. Yeah, most people know what's good, fighting cancer, helping tumor patients. I don't think that's enough. Most people, they're not interested in those things until they are sick themselves. And in which case, it's believing maybe too late. So we want to educate young people now.
You know, here definitely it's like it feels like 10% of the population understands what's going on.
You're also dealing with the mentality of the people, you know, mm-hmm. whereas the Mediterranean area or talking people they're more closed mindsets regarding these things, where in the northern countries they're more open,
yes,
to at least even speaking about them, to mm-hmm. publicly speaking about it.
Yeah.
And I think also because that's a reflection of the education systems, because in the north they are generally better educated. There's more resources in the universities and their schools. Here in these Spain and Italy, the resources, they're lacking huge resources for education. And even a lot of times the kids have to bring buy in books rather than
the school providing them. They have
Interesting. Literally, they have to bring everything, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it sounds like we both have homework.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you.
There is serious upheaval happening in our own backyard right now, which is exactly why I believe it's important to sit up and pay attention to what's happening in other countries around the world. Are they experiencing similar issues? How are they handling them? The more you're willing to explore outside of your own bubble, the more understanding and connection you'll find in the world around you. We all have things to learn from one another. As Americans, we're indoctrinated with the belief that our way is the best way or the only way, but it's simply not true. If nothing else, I hope this podcast fed your curiosity to explore beyond the boundaries of your community, to strike up big talk conversations and explore new ideas and brainstorm solutions to old problems. If this podcast struck a chord, I hope you'll share it with a friend or family member in this country or abroad. Cannabis for wellness shouldn't be confined by borders. Neither should freedom, for that matter, so I'm going to step up on my soapbox for a second. I encourage you to use your voice without fear to fight for equality. Fear breeds more fear, so stand fiercely in the light and refuse to fall in line. We don't have to follow the scared, old, crotchety white men hanging on by a thread to their crumbling power and misogynistic ideals. No matter who you are or what body parts you have, you matter. Your voice matters. Your vote matters. What you do every day fucking matters. If you aren't registered to vote, or if you're a voter who wants to get involved as we near the midterms, I encourage you to visit votesaveamerica.com. You living your best life, it isn't just for you, it's for all of us. So get out there and inspire the shit out of your community. And if you've got a couple of minutes left at the end of that busy day, rate and review Casually Baked the podcast on iTunes or Apple Podcasts.
it really does make a difference in spreading this hopeful message about the modern cannabis culture. And as always, schedule your free 15-minute Casually Baked consult at casuallybaked.com. Simply click the big gray schedule appointment button in the top right-hand corner of your screen. We had a time together. Casually Baked, the podcast, was created, recorded, and produced by yours truly. Editing and sound design are in the capable hands of Arnav Gupta. The podcast theme music is by my highly talented friend Seth Walker. If you aren't familiar with Seth's music, you can find High Time on his album Gotta Get Back wherever you're buying your music these days. I know he didn't create High Time for me, but it sure as shit sounds like he did, right? I hope you'll tune in next time. Thanks for hanging out. I'm excited to report that I'm putting the final touches on the first few episodes of Love Mary Jane, the podcast. They're packed with great cannabis-infused relationship advice, and some of the episodes might make you blush, so definitely don't listen to Love MJ with the kiddos in the car. Submit your cannabis relationship questions or sticky situations at lovemaryjane.net. Stay tuned. I promise you won't be disappointed.